Don't be surprised by the latest changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. We're every Wednesday at 10 a.m. And as usual, we're following the money. Today, the subject is health insurance premiums, what federal workers, retirees, survivors of retirees, and in some cases, ex-spouses of federal workers are going to be paying next year, 2011, for their health insurance premiums. You probably have seen or heard or read by now that the premiums are going up an average of 7.2%, but we all know what averages are. They are simply that, an average. That means that some are going up more, some less, and a few are holding the line. Premiums don't tell the entire story, however, as wise shoppers know. The premium is the amount of money you know you're going to pay out for health insurance. The other payments, which can be in some cases critical and catastrophic, range from co-payments and things you'll pay for prescription drugs to what would happen in case of a catastrophic year. If you were hit by a bus or you had a horrible debilitating disease or somebody in the family did, and your medical costs skyrocket. So I've got, as the expert today to be with us, David Snell. He's with the National Active and Retired National Active and Retired Federal Employees, and the emphasis is on active because while NARF at one point was thought of and known as a retiree organization, they've made a great effort now to expand to get active duty people on the ranks because these are the people who are going to be retiring someday, and they want to be sure that a retirement system is there. So we've got a number of questions from listeners and readers for David. David, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, Mike.
May, thank you for giving up an hour here to get on the chopping block here. David, what every year we urge people to be very careful shopping. It's an important decision. You could make the argument that, you know, short of maybe having a baby or getting married or some other life-changing event, the health plan you pick is maybe the most important decision you will make this year for next year.
Absolutely. I think for employees next to their basic pay and for retirees next to their basic annuity, their health benefits under the federal program is the most important benefit that they receive. And they need to give it the same time and attention in selecting a plan that they do with those other big life events. And unfortunately, I think in years past, at any rate, we've seen migrations, I guess, from one plan to another of very low percentages. I think one out of every five enrollee covered by the plan has made a change on the average. And, you know, as you pointed out, it's not just the premiums. It's all the other out-of-pocket costs that are important, as well as the benefits.
Well, that's one thing that's helpful about Walton Francis' Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plans is they take a look at not only the premiums, which are important, but they also look at your likely out-of-pocket costs, and they prorate it based on a 1% likelihood, 10%, 20%, up to and including if you have a catastrophic medical year. So that's the total concept that they're looking at that's so important. David, we've got some questions here, but let me go to one of them right away, because one of the things that we don't know yet is we now know the premiums, and people can go to yesterday's column, click on it, and it will take you to the OPM website, which has all of the premiums, both postal and non-postal, and as we know, retirees and active duty people pay the same premiums in the same plans. But what we don't know yet are the benefit changes, if any, and what changes are going to be in things like prescription drug coverage and co-payments and that sort of thing. Are you hearing anything?
We've got a little information from, OPM put out some information during their briefing last week, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, for instance. They've increased the calendar under the standard option, the calendar year deductible, by $50 for self only and by $100 for self and family enrollments. Increased urgent care co-pays from $30 to $50. emergency room copays from $75 to $125. Surgery copays from $100 to $150. So the point you were making about the other costs involved besides the premiums are highlighted in this alone. And so, you know, the once the brochures come out and we can study the benefits and the changes in all of these copays, coinsurance, we'll have a better handle on just how much it's going to cost folks this year.
Got a question comment from someone at the Library of Congress. And she says, as I read your column, one of my greatest frustrations in dealing with the FEHBP is the customary and reasonable payments, which are anything but. This information is kept secret until a claim is submitted. I have asked for this information during previous open seasons and gotten absolutely nowhere with any kind of response. The crumbs that I was thrown after submitting claims for out-of-network providers come to perhaps 20% of my cost at best. The solution was to get one of the cheapest plans for emergencies and then maximize funding of my flexible spending account. So I am essentially self-insuring with the with the slashing of the FSA for the year 2012, this won't work so well. Therefore, I think the customary and reasonable should be more transparent. What kind of doctors I choose to see are not in big insurance-controlled networks. Seems to me we should have a right to know this information. Is there something you might be able to address in the upcoming open season? And that's a mouthful, but those are good comments and questions.
Well, I think what your listener or reader is referring to I haven't heard customary and usual in a long time. It's now called the plan allowance, which is what they base their payments on. And, yeah, she's absolutely correct. It's very difficult to find out, what the plan allowance is for any specific procedure at any specific hospital or doctor. You can call ahead and with details, and they can probably try and, in fact, the plans usually suggest that you do that. But plan allowance ranges. It's different for one fee for service plan to another in HMOs, but usually it's based on the contract that the plan has with the providers. Now, when they don't have when you go to a non-provider, then the plan will use a different method, obviously of their allowance. But for preferred providers and participating providers, they usually have a contract basis and know exactly what the allowance is for that particular procedure at that particular.
So you can get a ballpark. David, we have a caller on the line, Diane from Silver Spring, and she has a question or a comment about the catastrophic coverage based on something that happened to her husband. Diane, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. My husband worked 35 years for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lawyer and an economist. He was chief counsel for science and technology for the Commerce Department when he retired. Very bright man. Was lawyer of the year in 2004. Several gold and silver medals. He bought catastrophic insurance, federal insurance. Paid those premiums every month for 35 years. And 4 months after he retired in 2009, he had a brain hemorrhage. Only 10% survived. My husband survived. He's working very hard to recover. His health insurance, federal health insurance, is supposed to be no lifetime cap, a $4,000 out-of-pocket cap. I have spent nearly $100,000 out-of-pocket on my husband's medical care.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that.
I have done appeals. They were trying when he was still in ICU. They were saying it was not medically necessary for him to be there.
He was in intensive care, and they said it wasn't necessary.
Right, and they said that his treatment at National Rehab Hospital was not necessary. Five doctors prescribed it. The head of brain injury at National Rehab Hospital said he needed to be there 3 months minimum to be treated as a traumatic brain injury because his brain hemorrhage was 2.8 centimeters long, and he needed that to do the brain plasticity, also because he had cerebral palsy from birth on the other side.
David, I'm volunteering you, but it would be possible for Diane to contact you at NARF?
Well, certainly, the other avenue is to appeal to the Office of Personnel Management.
And I contacted my congressman, who OPM would not talk to.
There's something wrong there, because they, believe me, when they get a congressional, they stand at attention.
Not, at the OPM level, would not. I have the letter. I can't tell you how angry Van Hollen was.
Well, Congressman Van Hollen is you know, a good advocate for federal employees, and I'm...
And he was more surprised than anyone. They would not talk to him at the appeals level, and OPM would not talk to me when I tried to tell them the first day of when they were starting the review was the first day that my husband talked. It was the beginning of that last month that I had to pay for out of pocket in order for my husband to continue to have treatment.
Well, Diane, why don't you give me a call after the program. My phone number is 571-483-1269.
I can write that fast. 571-483-1269.
I'm at NARF, and we'll see if we can help you out on this.
I'd appreciate it so much.
All right, thank you, Diane. Sorry for your troubles. Okay, thanks. David, that's interesting. My experience with federal agencies is when they get a congressional inquiry, they hop to it, and particularly when it comes to the level of Congressman Van Hollen, because he's in the House Democratic leadership, so all the more reason to pay attention.
Well, absolutely, and my experience is with OPMs, and I know for a fact that that's a high priority whenever a congressman contacts the agency about a matter. There is an appeal process for enrollees in the federal program if they have a claim denied or if they don't think they've received the benefits they should, and that goes to the Office of Personnel Management. And I don't know if our Diane had done that, but I'll ask her after the show.
Sure. Dave, we need to take a short break here, but hang with us, and we'll be back. Got a lot of questions for you here on WFED 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
The former head of Homeland Security says the nation still has gaps in its security. Former Secretary Tom Ridge criticized insufficient funding for the Coast Guard and the lack of a system to develop and distribute vaccines. Ridge said the Coast Guard is overloaded with missions but only gets crumbs in the budgeting process. Ridge called on President Obama to create a system of regional Homeland Security centers across the country. I'm Mark Seagraves.
Did you know that floods are the number one natural disaster in America? The D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency wants to help you prepare now for the flood risks that come with hurricanes, tropical storms, and other severe summer weather. Learn the difference between a flood watch and a flood warning. Gather supplies for your storm kit and create a family emergency plan. To learn more about preparing for floods, including information on flood insurance, visit 72hours.dc.gov. Be ready, D.C.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Are you a government contractor using QuickBooks? Do you need help resolving issues with DCAA? The Federal Contractor Services Network provides accounting solutions for government contractors who use QuickBooks. In their workshops, you'll configure your QuickBooks file to pass DCAA accounting system review. Their software application, ICAT, enables QuickBooks users to compute indirect rates and generate reports needed for DCAA compliance. For more information, please visit FCServicesNetwork.com. That's FCServicesNetwork.com.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
For years, the people who run the Federal Thrift Investment Board have resisted efforts of mutual funds to become one of the options available to the 3 million-plus people with accounts. The reason is that the mutual funds are considered high risk, and the Thrift Savings Plan is designed to be long-term and low risk. They also argue that the funds available to TSP investors do have representation in most of the markets that people want or need in their portfolios. I'm Amy Morris.
Will you be receiving a 25% life insurance premium refund check from your insurance company? WAPA policyholders will be receiving over $6 million this fall. In fact, since 1996, WAPA has returned over $52 million in premium refunds. In comparison, Fegley has never issued a premium refund. Besides a long history of refunds, WAPA offers significantly lower premium rates than Fegley. Visit WAEPA.org to learn all about the advantages of life insurance from WAPA. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Get ready for the Green Competition. We continue our Greening of Government series. We're going to talk to the people behind a $10,000 prize. They're looking for creative designs that can turn an old federal building and make it green. And big changes in the way government contractors are getting information. We'll talk to Bill Gormley of Fed Sources about the changing government market this afternoon. 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with David Snell. He's with the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association and one of the best people around to be able to discuss the health insurance, the upcoming open season. We know that the premiums are going up an average of 7.2%, and you know how valuable averages are. It's simply that. Some more, some less. It's better than this year when the premiums went up 8.8%. David, I got a call earlier from someone, and he said inflation is flat. Federal retirees did not get a cost of living adjustment in January 2010, and they're not going to get a cost of living adjustment in January 2011. He said, how can it be, how can health premiums go up at all when there is virtually no inflation? And I answered him back, and I said, well, medical inflation always runs 2 to 3 times higher than the regular cost of living. But that said, I said, I'd put the question to you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is nothing new. It's been happening for years now, where the cost of medical coverage and care has outstripped inflation by a considerable amount. So it costs more to cover those benefits that your plan provides for you, and therefore premiums go up. Now, you know, the aim here is to keep them from skyrocketing. And I think the federal program has managed to do that, at least by other industry standards, been able to keep their premiums from really going through the roof. Now, this year, there was a slight increase in premiums attributable to the healthcare reform bill that was passed by Congress, but it was very small and not as much as a lot of people were fearful of. I think OPM said it was 1.7% of the total average increase was as a result of having to provide coverage for eligible dependent children up to age 26, and for the wellness visits without copays or any coinsurance. So that added in a little bit. And, of course, the prescription drugs are a major part of the cost of providing coverage, especially for retirees. But all of those things together, premiums go up.
Yeah. Well, David, I want to give out our phone number here. It's, if you want to call us and ask a question of David Snell or myself, the number is 202-465-3080. That's 202-465-3080. And we'll be glad to take your questions. David, I was going to ask you this, but since you brought it up, now under the federal health program, beginning in 2011, dependents up to age 26 will be eligible for coverage under their parents' family plan. And it seems to me this they're sort of slicing and dicing here. For instance, if I was 25
married with a child, and my parents were federal workers. They could put me under their health plan.
That's correct.
But what they, my wife and children would not be eligible for coverage.
That's correct. Yeah, the provision of the law says that, and in fact, it's kind of, it relaxes the old federal FEHB rules. Children don't have to be single; they can be married up to age 26. You can't; the coverage doesn't extend to their family, but it does extend to even those children that are working and have other health care insurance. So it's quite a relaxation from what the FEHB had.
Right, you go from being a dependent to just a family member.
Exactly.
Well, that is interesting. And I noticed you mentioned that you said about 1.7% of the cost of the premium rise for 2011 is attributable to changes in this Affordable Care Act, the ACA. Mm-hmm. And I guess the primary part of that is providing coverage up to age 26.
Right.
I would think that a young group like that would maybe be a boon to the health plan because they wouldn't be using services as much as older people. But I guess just their addition brings an added cost, huh?
Oh, I think so. And that's an age group that you talked about, families.
Yeah,
a lot of people start their families, and the coverage could be extensive in some cases like that, but they still have to, they still get, you know, the enrollee still gets all that just for the same premium price. So it's a good deal.
Our number here is 202-465-3080, 465-3080. David, just a word about the federal health program. It is, By any standard, it is one of the best, if not the best, in the country. And the premiums, the fact that the government covers what almost 70% of it is a very good deal, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very good deal. Now, you know, you may find private plans out there that are employers in the private industry where they'll pay the entire premium, but once you retire, once you hit a certain Medicare age, and in a lot of cases that all goes away, and for the government, you maintain that coverage as an employee and then to retirement, and pay the same rates that everybody else pays.
Right. For active feds, it's gold. For retirees, it's platinum, I guess. Need to take a short break here. We've got a caller on the line, Barry from Pikesville, Maryland. So we'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Local and state governments are under tremendous pressure to do more for citizens and do it better. How is technology helping local and state governments do just that? How is the state of Illinois using technology to improve human service delivery? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and so much more with special guest Ivan Handler, Chief Information Officer of the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Here's Dave Wintergren, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Information Management, Integration, and Technology, Deputy CIO, on the Federal Executive Forum on Secure Information and Intelligence Sharing, sponsored by HP.
You know, you have to do this to be effective today in managing information in the contested environment that we face. But you also have to do this if you intend to be an employer of choice for the next generation. This is the way they live their lives, and this is how they will expect to do work.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezor Media Group, log on to Federal News Radio. Everybody's selling cybersecurity these days, and it's all about fear and drama. HP believes cybersecurity isn't about fear. It's about managing threats while achieving your objectives. Every day, HP helps clients achieve their missions with confidence. Take the fear out of cyber threats and enable your organization to thrive in an uncertain environment. Visit HP at hp.com/go/cybersecurity. Outcomes that matter. Copyright 2010 Hewlett-Packard Development Company, LP.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
Are we witnessing the beginning of a cyber arms race? Seems like it. The Stuxnet computer virus is taking worries about cyber warfare to a new level as the first reported case of malicious software designed to sabotage industrial controls. Experts say it's a prototype of a cyber weapon that could lead to a new global arms race. That program targets specifically control systems built by Siemens. I'm J.G. Green.
When you think of forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally. Air Inc. has. Air Inc. and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Human capital management for the federal government is the most anticipated training conference this year, with keynote speaker John Barry, director of OPM and chief people person of the U.S. federal government. Don't miss this year's event, to be held on November 15th through the 17th at the Sheraton Premier in Vienna, Virginia. Check out the website, hcmfederal.com, for more information. And to register now, mention code HCMF for a $200 discount.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey talking about the federal health insurance program for the year 2011. Premiums are going up. Co-payments are going up. I don't know about benefits as yet, but we're going to get into that. And our expert witness today is David Snell from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, and he knows just about everything there is to know about the federal health program. David, you're prompting a lot of telephone calls here. Our number is 202-465-3080. That's 202-465-3080. And we have a couple of people on the line, Barry in Pikesville, Maryland. His wife is a Fed and is retiring in 2011. She's 62 years old and has a question about coverage when she retires. Barry, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. Glad to have a caller. Yes, David?
Yes.
I love passing the buck like this.
Yeah. Okay, Barry, what can we do?
Okay, my wife's 62, retired at the end of the year. She's going to choose a health plan for both of us starting 11, of course. So she's not eligible for Medicare for 3 years. I have Part A, and I'm under her plan. People are telling me I should get Part B, and other people are telling me I should not get Part B Medicare. And when I call Aetna, who I have now, they said, well, according to what, if I did not take Part B, they would be the secondary. Do I have enough coverage without taking Part B?
Well, that's a personal. I don't know what your medical Barry. I don't know what your medical condition is.
Yeah, right.
I think my rule of thumb is if you only use your federal plan for routine visits and maybe. A few other added things, but in other words, you don't use your plan a lot, then I don't see any reason to pay the additional $110.50 for most CSRS retirees. I don't see any reason to pay that in addition to what you're paying under the federal program for basically similar coverage.
Yeah, but see, I do have, I know you don't know my medical condition, I do go to specialists for colitis I have and things of that nature. So.
Okay, and so you're in an HMO, right?
Well,
you said Aetna?
Looking at the ones that they're going to give us or were available to us starting in 2011. We have eight net PPO now, but the PPO has sort of disappeared. I don't see it on the list. They have high deductible HMO.
Okay. Well, you're retired, Barry?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you've got Part A, that's your hospitalization, and that's going to be primary. Your Part B, your medical, which is under the Part B, and you're not enrolled in that yet. So
no.
Your Aetna is the primary under that.
Right.
It sounds to me like, it might be a good idea for you to enroll in Medicare Part B. I mean, just based on the little that you told me.
Right.
But if you do, and you're going to be paying that extra $110.50 is what it is this year, but
right.
A month. I don't know what Aetna you were under or what the premiums were, but you might want to look for, since your federal plan is now going to basically be a Medigap plan, it's going to cover what Medicare doesn't cover. I would look for a less expensive plan, either fee-for-service, especially if you're thinking about traveling a lot. But keep your federal plan by all means, because it does have that prescription drug benefit, which is golden as you get older.
Well, a lot of food for thought there. We have to move on, but the fact that he, as a retiree, you may be doing more traveling, and an HMO then becomes problematic in some instances, since they treat you only for emergency services on the road. And as you said, with a regular fee for service plan, he might get lower premiums because he's going to be using that as a Medigap. I'm a belt and suspenders guy, and if you can afford it, very few people get healthier as they get older, and if you can afford it, I would do both, but that's just my amateur's thing. We have Constance from Mitchellville, Maryland on the line. Our number here is 202-465-3080. Constance, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Yes, ma'am. What's your situation?
My situation, I guess, is sort of similar to the person before me. I am paying out right now $278 a month to Aetna and $110.50 to Medicare. And, it just seems like everybody scares you to death. If you don't take the Medicare, you're going to be penalized 10% per year. You want to take your federal health benefits into retirement because you're going to need them. But I can't see where everybody's paying their fair share. I see me as being the person doing the paying. I don't understand what I'm getting from Aetna as the secondary.
Okay, David, you... Take a shot
well,
at that.
For one thing, you're getting prescription drug coverage if you need it. The Medicare does not provide any prescription drug coverage. You may have a medical situation at some point where the Medicare B, which pays about 70% of most medical things, it's just not going to be enough, and that's when Aetna steps in and it's going to cover the rest of it. If, of course, that you went to an Aetna preferred provider or their network providers, and that's something you need to think about too.
Okay.
But it just gives you that assurance that you've got two federal plans covering you, and You're going to be able to withstand most costs of your medical care, no matter what happens.
Yeah, that prescription drug thing is golden, and of course, just as David said, you're using the federal program as a Medigap thing here too. You might want to definitely stay in network. This is one of the things all the experts say, and I know people want to go to specialists, and that's their right and their privilege. But if you don't stay in the network, you're going to be paying an arm and a leg in some cases.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am. Our number here is 202-465-3080, 202-465-3080. Talking with David Snell from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. We'll be right back after this break here on WFED 1500 AM.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Attention AFGE members, did you know you have free access to all federal government job listings at your fingertips? Through AFGE's partnership with AVIEW Technologies, you can view all available jobs, apply online, and be notified when a position of interest to you becomes available. View your application progress online 24/7. You'll even get information to make you a better job applicant. Simplify your next career move with AVIEW Technologies. Log on today and check out current job openings at avuecentral.com. That's avuecentral.com.
The Dora Beck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dora Beck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dora Beck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dora Beck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today, and glad to have David Snell from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees here to field questions about the federal health program. David, this is something that comes up every time we have an open season, and rightfully so. And one of the earlier callers alluded to it. She was retired, and she wanted to know why she had to pay for certain things that she wasn't going to use. And I got a question from Kathy at the Census Bureau, and she says, is there any chance there will ever be a self plus one option instead of family? I really don't like paying for everyone's dependents when I have never had any on my health plan except for my husband. And get this all the time from people, and it seems like every age group or marital group has a tick it would like to make in the health program. A lot of single people a lot of married couples without children don't like paying family rates. They say, if we didn't choose to have children, or we can't have children, but why should we pay for Johnny's broken ankle and whooping cough when we don't have kids? A lot of younger people resent having older people in the program whose medical costs are considerably higher. I think after about age 60 or 62, the costs jump dramatically. No matter who's paying for it, the costs are there. Prescription drugs and that sort of thing. And then there are older people who resent paying for younger people who are getting married and having children and doing those expensive things that they are no longer doing. And I keep telling them, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I say it's a group plan, folks.
That's exactly right. You're not oversimplifying. And as to the lady's question about will there ever be a self plus one option, well, hope springs eternal. But we get the same questions here. We've got retirees that are enrolled in Medicare and want to know why they have to pay the same premiums as those that are not enrolled in Medicare, since Medicare is the primary. We've got, couples, and most of these are older couples who have no dependents but still have to pay the same family plan. And your answer, in a nutshell, is It's a group policy, folks.
Yeah.
The basic premise of a group policy is the beneficial aspects of risk sharing. You share the risk among a large group of enrollees, including those who are sick and high risk, as well as those that are low risk. And by spreading the risk over the group, it's possible to obtain better coverage, lower premiums for the group as a whole. If we were to start to splinter that, if we were going to start breaking up this nice large group we have into the federal program, into those that are just couples or self plus one, we'll take that one for example. Self plus one, probably most of the self plus one enrollees are going to be older FEHB enrollees, where their dependents have all left, and they're only they've got a family plan, but it's only the husband and wife. Well, if everybody migrates, if all the older folks migrate to that option, if it's ever offered, then you're going to see premiums rise because older folks cost the program a lot more than the younger folks. Same thing goes with Medicare. If there was a Medicare option where enrollees who are also enrolled in Medicare would get a break on premiums, you're going to find that as soon as everybody migrates into that thing, you're going to see the premiums go up because it's going to cost a lot more to cover their benefits. Medicare enrollees are 4 to 5 times more likely to go to the hospital, and their stay is about 20% longer than the younger people. They see physicians 2 to 3 times more often. I mean, the cost is much greater for those folks. So when we talk about, it makes sense, in a way to offer those options, and we're going to get a big break if we do, but it doesn't always work that way. And when you splinter and when you start dividing up that group into subgroups and you're taking a risk that you're gonna raise the premiums for those special groups and that's just not what the group plan is all about.
Well, I had not thought of that. When all of the questions that I've had on this single plus one seem to me have come from young people, young working people. But your point is well taken that probably the people who would use it the most are retirees, a husband and wife, and they may have had 4, 5, 6 kids and benefited from that at the time. But now that there's single plus one and they want a single plus one option. But I mean, it's really, in addition to becoming very expensive, if most of the people that migrated into that single plus one option were older people, mm-hmm. then it would be self-defeating, wouldn't it? It would become very expensive.
It certainly would. So we NARF's always been a little wary, when we get these inquiries and people suggesting that we work toward that, because if we splinter that risk pool, fragment it, it could have consequences other than what was intended.
That's one of my favorite things, the law of unintended consequences. You do something for good purpose and bad things happen, as in prohibition. In the 1920s. Dave, we need to splinter off to take a break here. Be right back talking with David Snell from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees here on WFED 1500 AM.
DC.com, half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Bale Vietnamese Food and Deli in Rockville. Delicious food and great customer service at affordable prices.
Sur La Place in the Palisades area of D.C. This Belgian fine dining gem boasts over 20 types of mussels and a unique beverage list. And McLoone's Pier House, National Harbor's newest waterfront dining destination.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with a spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. Grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory. Even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body. Get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
With the health care bill signed into law, how will patients and doctors translate the bill's intentions into real cost savings? How will the adoption of new technology streamline and maximize health outcomes? Join Afcea Bethesda and Michael Carlton from HHS for a discussion of health IT, touching on the latest issues including health information exchanges, clinical decision support tools, and privacy and information security at Afcea's Bethesda November 5th breakfast at the Bethesda North Marriott. For more information and to register, visit AfceaBethesda.com/NOVBreakfast.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. We're talking with David Snell from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, and he's an expert on the federal health program, and been a good day, some really good questions from people here, and hope we get some more calls. David, I wanted to kind of ask you a general thing. When people are shopping for health insurance, so far the emphasis has been obviously on premiums because they have just been announced. It's announced they're going up 7.2% on average next year, and that's better than the 8.8% they went up this year, but still high for a lot of people. And many of your members are retired federal workers. They will not be getting any cost of living adjustment in 2011, as they did not get one in this year, in 2010. What are you telling people about shopping during this open season, which runs from November through December?
Well, I think we've been over a couple of these, Mike, but the premium announcements and the average premiums, as you put it earlier, average premium, I mean, those announcements are good for policy reasons, but what the individual needs to look at is the plan they're currently in and what the premium's going to be. If you're an employee, what it's going to be biweekly. If you're an annuitant, what it's going to be monthly. It's sort of like a magician who wants you to look at this hand while he's doing something other with the other hand. So, okay, there's the premium. You can see that. But the hidden cost, the out-of-pocket cost, can nickel and dime you to death, and they need to look at that. They need to look at what the calendar year deductible is. And whatever plan they decide on, nowadays, most of the plans in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program have preferred provider organizations. And it's to save yourself money, you should use their preferred providers, whether it be a hospital or a doctor. And if you're not sure if your doctor is a preferred provider for your plan, call them and find out, because the doctor's office is going to know. The hospital you go to is going to know. If you don't get any satisfaction out of them, and I'm sure that won't happen, but you can also call the plan and get a listing of preferred providers. Now, I don't believe in people overpaying for the same insurance coverage. And as we explained to Barry, you know, if you're facing Medicare and the question of whether to get it, a lot of things come into play. A, your medical health, your medical conditions, and financially, what you can afford to pay. So don't jump and get into the Medicare Part B, you know, just because it's all, you know, you've turned 65. Now, A is free to most folks, and what's not like to like about free, but B is going to cost you, and I, you know, we still haven't found out what the Medicare premiums for 2011 are going to be for Part B. We do know pretty much, even though there hasn't been an official announcement, that retirees are not going to see a cost of living adjustment again, and for people on fixed incomes, this is going to be very difficult, another difficult year for them. So federal annuitants who are retired, in addition to looking at how they can save money through the health benefits program, need to also look at this time of the year what they're paying for things like life insurance premiums and see if they can cut some of the premiums out for that, because when you after you turn age 65, those premiums can be very expensive. So they need to look at all their benefits, federal benefits, and see where they can reduce costs to help them out. But back to the health benefits. Now, some people, you know, might find a Medicare Advantage Part C plan that is less expensive, also includes drug coverage, than their FEHB plan. If they see one they like, then they can enroll in that plan and they can suspend their federal plan while they're enrolled in the Medicare Part C Advantage plan. If it works for them, fine, they're set. If it doesn't, they can get out of the Medicare Part C plan and re-enroll back into the federal plan.
Well, Dave, let me interrupt you because we're about out of time here, but just to sum up, the federal program is very good in every respect. People have a huge number of choices. I think in this Washington area, about 20 choices between fee-for-service and HMOs, and there are a lot of options. They can switch. There are no pre-existing condition clauses, no age exemptions, and it's all things considered, it's about as good as it gets, correct?
That's correct. I don't think, like I said, next to your pay and your retirement pay, your federal benefits under the FEHB are priceless.
Right. If you want to save premiums, marry a postal worker because theirs are lower. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll see you here next week here on Your Turn at WFED 1500 AM. Have a good week.
My pleasure, Mike.
Thank you.
Cisco is the official sponsor of FederalNewsRadio.com. The Cisco Center at FederalNewsRadio.com is your resource for data center security and collaboration strategy and solutions.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey, Ravens fans, join your friends and fellow fans and paint.